Hey y'all. Good morning once again. I see I'm working this week. Last week I was asking if it was working and y'all were not answering me because you couldn't hear me. And I realized that it's because I went over there and shut the whole system off over there. When we were done singing, I didn't realize I did it until after church, so I apologize. It's my bad. I try not to do it this time. Today we're going to continue in our discussion or our learning about the love of God. And I know you're excited about that, as anybody should be and would be, because who doesn't want to talk about the love of God, right? Who doesn't want to talk about God's love and His grace and His mercy and the things that He does for us and how much that love and His grace means to us? The problem is it's not really enough to just know about it. It's not really enough to just learn a little bit about how God loves you. It's all about the totality of God's love, right? We want the fullness of God's love. And I think it was a couple weeks ago or so, we talked about God is love and how if God is love and we are in Christ and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we must be filled with His love, right? And that should not only fill us up, but overflow into the lives of those around us. And that would be how we make disciples. Well, today we're going to talk about an example of how that happens and what that might look like in the life of a believer. So hang on to your hats, because we're going to talk about some things that maybe we try to avoid sometimes. Maybe on purpose or maybe not so much on purpose. Maybe just incidentally we don't think about it. Or maybe we got it figured out and we really maybe can do a little bit better. Obviously, if you're looking at the screen, you can see we're in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. And we're going to talk about loving our enemy today. Aren't y'all excited? Here's what the problem is for most of us when we talk about this subject or this aspect of God's love is, two things. One, we don't really like to admit that we have enemies, because that means there's people out there that don't like us, or we don't like them, either way or both ways. And two, because we don't really want to love our enemies, if you think about it, right? Who wants to do that? Who wants to love somebody who doesn't love them? There's a reason that they're our enemies, right? The people that we don't like, or the people that don't like us, or the people we can't get along with, or people that are against us, seem to be different than us. We're supposed to be people of love, aren't we? That's what the Scripture teaches. We're people of love and peace. If we're going to be like Christ, that's what we are. We studied for weeks about what it means to be a disciple, what the Scripture says about being a disciple, being a believer. And all of it had to do with loving God and loving people in all different aspects of our life. And I hope that we got excited about those things as the Lord revealed some things that were going well in our life. And also the Lord helped us learn some things that maybe we could work on and be better at, right? That's what it's all about. That's what the Christian life is about. That's what growth is about. But we're really not that way at all very often, loving our enemies, right? Because we all have our friends, and we all have our family, and in general, for the most part, we love those people in different ways, to different degrees, right? We have almost no issue in loving our friends and family and brothers and sisters in Christ. It seems easy, doesn't it? But then there's other people, right, in the world. There's other people in your lives, in our lives, in my life. What do we do? How do we do this? Why do we do this? Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, and we'll start right there. And just read a little bit of the teachings of our Savior. In case we're interested in some good teaching about this, right? Some right teaching about this. In verse 27 of chapter 6, we start and we read, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Verse 35, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. These are the words of our Savior, according to the Gospel of Luke. They're tough to swallow, isn't it? Got to chew on it for a while and let it ease its way down, because if you try to swallow all that at once, you're going to have a really hard time with that. So some questions we're going to ask ourselves today. Why would Jesus give us this command? Why would he command us to love those who do not love us, those who are against him or us? Well, first, Jesus didn't save us because we were nice people. Hello? This is where we start amening and hallelujah and all that stuff. If we really know the gospel and we understand our salvation, this is what it's about. Right? We see right here in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all offended God. And I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life where that verse would discourage me and hurt my feelings, make me mad. But when I read it now, because I understand the gospel and I've responded to it by faith, and I'm saved by the blood of Christ, I get excited about that verse. Because the facts don't change that I've sinned against God, that I've offended God, that I once was an enemy of God. Yet he still loved me. Hello? Y'all see where we're going, right? I hope y'all see where we're going today. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, if you were studying with us earlier this morning, we would have read this together. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Look what it says. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That is a description of what it means to be lost in your sin. What it means to live in chapter 3, verse 23. What it means to live as an offender of God, an enemy of God, not saved by the blood of Christ. That's what it looks like. It's serious, isn't it? Our status between ourselves and God. It's serious that we were not only disobedient, because that's a nice word, isn't it? Disobedient. I mean, young children don't really care for it because it insinuates that there's something to obey, right? And me being the chief disobedient child of the 70s and 80s, I understand that, how offensive that word can be. However, the better word for us to understand the problem is that we, in our disobedience, in our rebellious attitudes and actions, we have made ourselves enemies of the Most High, against God. Right? Yet he still loved us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that you could be saved. Here's a point to take home with you. There's going to be some of these today. Whenever we do not love, we are falling back into what Jesus came to deliver us from. When we're not loving people, friends or foes, we are going back to what Jesus pulled us out of. Right? It's hard, isn't it? It's real hard. But how difficult was it for Jesus in the flesh to look at you and me and everybody else in the world and have compassion so much that he would allow himself to be on the cross just because he loves you? Didn't matter. Doesn't matter how many times you've offended him or how many times you've worked against the Father, how many times you've spit in the face of his righteousness because of your sin, he still loves you. I get excited to hear that, even if I say it myself. I need to be reminded, because when I look at the world or people in the world or people even in my own life, and I have this vision of what I don't like about them or what they've done to me that's offensive, if I can't get past those things, I will never love them the way Jesus commands us to love them. And guess what? I'll never make disciples. I'll never be a disciple maker if I can't do this love your enemy thing. Right? Because if you only hang out with your friends and your family and your brothers and sisters in Christ because they love you and you love them, you will never make disciples. They're already disciples. They're already saved, right? They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. We got to go love those who don't know God, who don't have the grace that God has offered, who haven't experienced and understood the love of God. If we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, how can God go into the world and love people even in their sin if the church don't go do that? Hello? So, the second point in this question, why would Jesus command this? It's because he knows that it doesn't come natural for us. I always had to be told what to do about things that I didn't really want to do or really didn't know how to do. Nobody ever told me how to have fun. Nobody ever commanded me, go out there and have fun whether you like it or not. No. I worked hard most of my life doing everything I can do to have fun. And I didn't need any help to try to figure that out. I didn't need to be commanded. So yeah, because you and I don't naturally love our enemies, we have to be commanded. It has to be a command. We have to be told to do it. Hello? And that's okay, because God is God. He can do that. He can tell us what to do. He can command us, right? If we are sons and daughters of the Father through Christ and his shed blood, then we are submitting to his authority in our life. Check this out. John verse 14 to 15 says this. If you love me, keep my commands. So I could just stop preaching right now, and you would think that should be enough for all of us to just fall in line with this command to love your enemies. Wouldn't you think? I mean, it seems like it should be. It really does seem, if Jesus said do it, then we should just say, yes, Lord, and then go do it. And he has every right in the world for it to be like that. However, because he knows us, and he loves us, and he has patience and compassion and perseverance when it comes to us people, he continues on. He helps us understand the why and the how. Because he wants us to be successful. He wants us to do what we're able to do. Did you realize that God never commands us to do anything that we're not able to do? Right? Hello? Because I know ever since I started talking about loving your enemy, and I said the word enemy for the first time, or you saw it up on the board, a list of names came into your mind. And you're sitting here thinking, it's like, man, there ain't no way. Because you don't know what so-and-so did to me. Or you don't know how so-and-so acts. They don't even love God. Matter of fact, they hate God. And this one person over here that I know, they worship the devil. They're nothing about anything but wickedness in their life. So how am I supposed to love that? And the easy answer is the same way Jesus loves you and me. Which is a hard statement to receive, because that means me, you and me get lumped in with them. And we have this terrible habit of dividing us and them. Because us separate from them is not all when it comes to the gospel and Jesus on the cross. It's just us. Y'all get it? It's just us. Some of us have received God's love, and others have yet to receive God's love. That's the only difference, according to the Word of God. So why would I want to love? You can do it any which way you want to read that. Why would I want to love my enemy? Or why would I want to love my enemy? Or why would I want to love my enemy? You can say it any which way you want. It's the same question. Because that's really where the struggle is, isn't it? It's not that you don't want to be obedient to Jesus and his commands. Because everybody in here, if I said, do you want to live your life the way Jesus commands you to live it, you would say, amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I do. I'm in. Then when we get to the love my enemy part, we're like, I didn't know that was part of it. Right? And then there's a battle that goes on then. Because everything in me wants to be obedient to God and be like Christ. And we know that means to love people that we don't want to love. But then there's the, I don't want to love them, tug of war going on in our minds. You guys, I can't be by myself in this, y'all. I can't be the only one. Right? You know what I'm talking about. It's obvious that I don't like these people, my enemies. It's obvious to me anyway. It's probably obvious to them. Right? Same thing's true for you and everybody else in the world. It's obvious that those people have gone out of their way to make sure that I know that I'm their enemy. Because they don't like me. It's obvious the way we interact or don't interact. And I'm supposed to love those kind of people? I'm supposed to go out of my way for them? I'm supposed to spend my time trying to do something for them that I wouldn't want to do, or maybe I don't even think they deserve? Careful with that thought, because who am I to say what anybody deserves? Because I know what I deserve. Hello? We all know what we deserve. So, first point on why should I want to love my enemies? Aside from the command of Jesus, aside from it being Jesus' command, first, we'd want to love our enemies because that's what God does for us. It always has to come back to that perspective, doesn't it? Anything you do for God and the kingdom of God has directly to do for what Jesus did, about what Jesus did on the cross. Has to do with that. Why would I do anything for God, or why would I repent of any sin, or why would I love anybody in the way that God has called me to love anybody if I don't understand the cross? If the cross means nothing to me. If I've never experienced that in my life. Look at verse 35 and 36 of chapter 6 here. It says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Everybody wants to be saved. But nobody wants to read the Bible to find out what that means. And I mean nobody generally. You understand what I mean? Because we all want to go to heaven. Some people only want to go to heaven so they don't go to hell. Some people get saved because they understand they've offended God and they become an enemy of a holy God. And they're grief-stricken, cut to the heart. The Spirit of God has laid their wound wide open, and they are in a spiritual, mental, emotional panic about the consequences of being an enemy of a holy God. And because of God's love, this same God who's been offended by the sins of man, the Most High, as described in this verse, because of his kindness to the ungrateful and the wicked, that's me and you, we get to be saved. We get to be in his presence for eternity. It says, verse 36 says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. If we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to be part of the kingdom of God and represent the kingdom of God, it's going to take things like being kind and being merciful, showing love. Big fat holy period right there. Right? I'm only going to love this enemy if they would just come to church, they'd find out we love them. No. If they would just be nice to me, I'll be nice to them. No. Just love them. When Jesus was bleeding on the cross, taking his last breath, no sinner repented. He didn't say, well, if y'all repent, I'll do this for you. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to do this for you so that you can repent, so that you can change your mind and change your heart, so that you can be brought back into the presence of the one who created you, so that you will not be an enemy of God. You understand, here's another point to write down. When we show love for our enemies, because it shows the world what our Father is like, what our Lord is like, what our God is like. You want people to get saved? You want people to see what the church is really about? You want people to see something different than their false perception of the body of Christ? Then go love everybody, including the ones that don't want you to love them, including the ones that hate you because you love them. Or they hate you because they're bad understanding of who the believers are. Or maybe they're just mad at God because they blame God for something that's happened or not happened in their life. So therefore, you get the brunt end of that. Love them anyway. Here's why we love our enemies, because God loves our enemies. And if we're in Christ and we have his Spirit living in us, overflowing, his love overflowing, building up, it should spill out into the world unconditionally to everybody and anybody. We don't get to decide where God's love goes or doesn't go. Right? And you also be praising the Lord for that statement, because at one time we were all lost in our sin, and if it wasn't for that fact, we might not be saved. Because somebody, some believer out there could have said, "Oh, I don't like Archie very much, so I'm not sharing God's love with him. We're just going to treat him badly because of the way he lives and the things he does." See? We can't do that. We're either going to love people or we're not. Isn't it great? I mean, God has made it so simple, y'all. I love it when it's simple. Just go love people. Problem is, here's the struggle, here's the problem, and I maybe you'll agree with me, maybe you won't, but it stings so bad when you reach out and love somebody and you get spit in the face and then you get rejected, treated poorly, attacked, hated. That's the way we're created, right? We're created to love one another. So there's a certain natural expectation for the love to come back to you. The hard part is, God is telling us to go first. You go first. Because they're not going to go first. The world's not going to go first. The people in the world who aren't saved, your enemies, they're definitely not going to go first, or they wouldn't be your enemies. You see, disciple making is getting our enemies to become our friends, and become our friends then to become our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the goal. The testimony of God and His love and His existence and His gospel and all of His kingdom is, once you were my enemy, but now you are my brother or my sister. And we could stand before other people and say, yeah, we hated each other at one point. But God interfered with that. His love interfered with that. He overcame the hate that's in our hearts and in our minds. You think that your hate is stronger than God's love? You're losing the battle if you think that. That's why hate will destroy you if you hate somebody. We realize that we're living in a world where hate seems to be the way to go. The norm. Our world, the world we live in, our neighborhoods, our communities, our societies. Our children are being taught that hate is the right way because it's being called something else. And the only way for the world to see love, genuine love, is if the church goes out and loves everybody, including those who are against us and the kingdom of God. Especially those who are against us and the kingdom of God. It's tough, isn't it? Look at this here. You probably can't read it up here. It's Colossians chapter 1. Flip it in your Bible. I know you still got one, right? Check it out on your phone, whatever you got to do. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. Praise the Lord. We get to stand before God and appear before Him as holy, even though we have been enemies of Him and we don't deserve to even be near Him. Yet through the death of our Savior, Jesus, right? Through the death of our Savior, God loved us enough to give us what I would describe as terms of peace. In case you didn't know, back in ancient times, when nations would go to war, they would bring all of their army together in some battlefield, and they would stop a distance away from one another, and they would send representatives to the middle of the battlefield to see if they were going to come to terms of peace, or are we just going to fight? And it was always terms of peace saying, if you surrender to my kingdom, then we won't kill all your people. And there was an opportunity to surrender your kingdom to the greater kingdom if you weren't the greater kingdom. You could look off and see, okay, we're terribly outnumbered here. We're not going to win this. Maybe we should surrender. God has done the same thing when Jesus went to the cross to His enemies. Terms of peace. Through the death of Jesus, through His death, burial, and resurrection, because of God's love, terms of peace have been offered to every man, woman, and child who have sinned against Him and have made themselves an enemy to His holiness. And His terms of peace are, surrender your kingdom to my kingdom, and we will then be family. Praise the Lord. And you can step into His love and live there for eternity. That's the gospel, y'all. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5 say similar things. All of us also lived among them at one time, talking about sinners, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We deserve God's wrath, yet we experience His love. And we experienced it before we repented. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. That means before we were able to repent. It is by grace you have been saved. God's love conquers all. So we can't say to each other or to God or even to ourselves that I just can't love my enemy. I just can't do it. We can't do that. Because if we're in Christ and we have the Spirit of God living in us and we have the truth of God alive and well in our hearts and in our minds and we have totally surrendered to Him in a genuine way and we're true believers, we will, and not only be obedient, but we will want to love our enemies because we will see our enemies the way God sees our enemies. And what God sees, God looks beyond the sin. He looks beyond the offense. And He sees what He created and what He intended it to be. And He sends Jesus to the cross to reconcile that to Himself. Isn't that great, y'all? The gospel, love, the passion of Christ on the cross has always been about loving those who are against Him and His kingdom. So now that we're in Christ, we're children of the Most High God, we must love. It's going to be a discouraging, that's an understatement, it's going to be an eye-opening situation when a person stands before God one day after they leave this world and say, look to God, look at all the people I loved during my life. And God says to them, yeah, but all those people already loved you first. What about the ones that didn't love you? What about that? You see, it's all or nothing with the love thing. Yeah, love our enemies, especially our enemies. If we can love our enemies and become good at loving our enemies, how much better can we be at loving our friends and family who are not our enemies? How many people might actually receive the Lord as Savior, repent of their sins, if they just experience love that comes from one who has no reason to love them, except for it's God's love? It's what making disciples is all about, y'all. Think about all the people in this. I want you to think about this to yourself and then pray about it. Ask the Lord to help you with it. You think about all the people in our society, in our community, and we can go up and down the streets and we can see people and we can say, okay, there's some pretty decent people, and we can see some other people and say, whoa, something wrong with those people just by the way that they live their life or what they do. Maybe it's not even a sinful thing. They're just not like us. They just don't live like we do. Maybe it's obvious that they're living in sin for whatever the reason. The only thing that helps me understand this is God wants me to envision those people sitting next to us and worshiping Him on Sunday morning. Whoever they are and whatever they're about. That's what God is after. Because they need the Lord just as much as we do. Not more than we do, just as much as we do. We all need God and His love. So then that comes to this question. Why? How? When? How? Where? The question I'm on is how. Okay, then how? How do I do it? I finally surrender to it, Lord. I'm going to do what You command me to do. I'm even going to want to do it. So how? How do I do this? Help me understand. Isn't that a valid question? Luke chapter 6, verse 31. It says it right there in our today's scripture. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Better known as golden rule. I prefer to use Luke chapter 6, verse 31, the words of Jesus. But hey, it works. If it helps people understand it and remember it, the golden rule is fine. Do unto others, do to other people what how you would have them do to you. It doesn't say if you don't like someone, stay away from them and don't let them into your life, and that's loving them. That's hard, isn't it? Let me make a little side note here. I always feel like I have to do this because there are some toxic people that are harmful to you that you should not allow to be harmful to you. There are other ways to love people without harming yourself or putting yourself in harm's way. So don't misunderstand what's being said here. I think the best place to start when you're loving your enemies is to start at the point where you're not hating them. Let's start with not hating them and then let God help us work our way into other ways to love them. But it's basically, in general, if I was doing or living the way they're living or doing what they're doing, how would I expect someone else to treat me? And that would be a place to start. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. I purposely am not using the, I'm not trying to take it out because it's relevant, but I'm not pointing out where it says after that, it would heap coals on their head, burning coals on their head, and you know, it's really about convicting them about God's love. It's important and it's necessary, so go home and read it and study it. But I want to focus on the doing part, our doing part. Because if my motive is just for revenge, if I'm only loving my enemy to make them feel bad, right, or to exact the wrath of God on them, that's a wrong motive, isn't it? But if my motive is to love them so that God could have his way in their life or have an opportunity to get their attention, then there we are. And if I got to bake a ham or give them a loaf of bread, whatever I got to do something for them. Not just sit away, not do something against them, but do something and bless them. Be a blessing to them. Maybe you can't take them out to eat. Maybe you wouldn't invite them into your home because it's not safe, but you can bless them in some way. Let the Lord lead you. Those are two ways. Those are two places to start. How? How to love somebody, right? Figure out how you want to be treated and then go and feed them. Give them what they need. Give them something they want. Be a blessing. Be an unexpected blessing in their life and watch what the Lord does. Again, verse 35 and 36, we just read, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons, look at this here, sons of the Most High. Everybody who believes that they're a Christian, or everyone who has been saved by the blood of Christ, believes that they are children of God. And I think all of us who fall into that category have or continue to struggle with this point of being a Christian, loving the enemy, loving those who are against us. But if we're going to be sons of the Most High, we're going to do what He does. And loving people is God's specialty. Isn't that great? And if we're like Paul, we're going to fight over the bragging rights to who's the chief sinner. Right? Because nobody, you can look in the mirror and say, nobody sinned worse than me. Paul says that. I say that. You probably say that. Yet God still loved me. When he was on the cross, he was thinking about you and how much he loves you. He was having compassion for you because you were an enemy. See, God, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Because he loved, he gave. If you love your enemies, then you'll find a way to give. Loving the enemy involves giving something. Right? What will you give? What are you prepared to give to your enemy? I know it's hard. It's hard for me. You know, I'm thinking about this message and I'm working on the PowerPoint and I'm going over the scriptures and I'm sometimes finding myself sitting back in my chair like this here. You know? Because who wants to hug somebody that hates them? Who wants to be nice to the people that aren't nice to you? It's hard. This is why we have to get ourselves out of the way and let the Lord and His Spirit, His love, continue to fill us up and overwhelm us And it would naturally just come out of us, and we'll find ourselves loving people even when we're not even trying. We'll find ourselves going, you know what? Everything in me wants to do this bad thing to the person that is right in front of me who's hating me, but I also want to do something nice for them because Jesus died for them too. I also want to love them because Jesus died for them. Even if it doesn't change that person's life, even if they continue to reject Jesus, reject the love of God, you get to walk away and you get to claim victory and praise the Lord because you win over the hate and wickedness that Satan tries to get us to participate in. You see, the whole world is trying to engage each other in hate and nastiness. And God is saying to the church, you got to go out there and show them something different. That's the only way to change the world, is be different and just love people. Love your enemies. I'll pray for you. If you pray for me, I'll pray for you. We'll get it together. And we'll find ways to love our enemies. And we'll watch what God does. Because when we can love our enemies, you won't be able to hold it back. You won't be able to hold back what the Lord is going to do in your life, in your family, in your church, in the community. The powers of the kingdom of God will be unleashed into your life. It's going to be awesome. Yeah? I love you, and the Lord loves you. If you don't know the Lord, then you're still an enemy of God. And I love you enough to tell you, if you don't repent, you're going to be gone from God for eternity. Not because he don't love you, but because you don't love him. Because you will not repent. Because you won't accept his terms of peace. It's all on you if you're not saved. Today's the day to do it. All you have to do is accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Repent of being a sinner. Just stop being an enemy. And then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Then the gift of the Holy Spirit will come in and you'll be filled with the love of God and you'll be with the rest of us going out there doing the best we can with God's help. Let's stand together and sing. If you have to decide to be saved, come on down here. If you're not, let's sing like we're praising the Lord for his love.